everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I hope you're having a great Monday so far. I have something really exciting to announce today. Tomorrow, we're going to take Mormon Channel Daily on location to the home and studio of one of the musicians who composes quite a bit of music for our Mormon messages. And he's kind of behind the scenes, and tomorrow we're going to actually talk with him about how he composes the music, and he's also going to tell us how he came to find the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I found out when I talked to him on the phone that he's actually a convert to the church. So be sure to join with us tomorrow as we go on location and talk to Rob Elliott. I was reading an article in our local newspaper here called the Deseret News, and it's written by Emily Buchanan, and the title of the article is called From Book of Mormon Musical to Mormon Convert, and this is from Friday, May 3rd of this year, and it's the story of a 21-year-old girl from Boston named Liza Morong. On September 25th, 2011, she saw the Book of Mormon Musical in a New York City theater. The Book of Mormon musical is the story of two Mormon missionaries who try to share the Book of Mormon with natives of northern Uganda. It's not a musical that's put out by the church, of course, and the author of this article describes the musical as edgy and irreverent but enormously popular. This 21-year-old girl, Liza, tells her experience at the musical. She says, "I laughed hysterically the entire show. I thought, wow, these people are crazy. They must be brainwashed." Intrigued by what she saw in the musical, she found the church's website, Mormon.org, and found a link for a live chat with missionaries. She says that she thought at the time, "These clowns are in for a treat with me." But Elder Boardman was so incredibly nice, I could not be mean to him. It was his genuine kindness, not his message, that caught her off guard. Liza asked the missionary questions that she had had about the church since watching the musical, and after he answered them, he invited her to chat again. The missionaries began teaching her the lessons through Facebook near the end of October. Not too long after this, Elder Boardman asked if he could send a copy of the Book of Mormon to her. She says of that experience that she thought to herself, "Here it comes," but she agreed. Elder Boardman sent her a copy of the Book of Mormon with his testimony written inside, as well as a passage from the Book of Moroni, inviting her to ponder and pray about the things that she read. She started going to a singles ward in Boston, met the sister missionaries there, and they began teaching the gospel in person to her. It was in a lesson with the sister missionaries on December 1st, 2011, when Liza decided to be baptized. As the three of them sat around the table, Liza said she felt the Spirit strongly and knew that what she had learned was true. She says, "I looked at the sisters. They told me the next step was baptism, and I realized I wanted to do that," she said. "Suddenly, all three of us were crying hysterically at my dining room table. My life has changed," she says. "I am so much happier. It's a happiness that stays with me if I make the right choices. I was an optimist anyway, but the gospel has made me even more optimistic." I thought that was such a great story, and I wanted to share that on the air today because I remember when the Book of Mormon musical first came out, and there was a lot of talk about it, and the head of public affairs, Michael Otterson, wrote an article for the Washington Post, and he set the record straight of what missionaries and the church is really accomplishing in Africa and how these missionaries come home with such a love for the people and the culture. The reality is so much different from what is being portrayed on stage. Then last fall, the church actually bought ad space in the Book of Mormon musical Playbill. I read an article, again in the Deseret News, called LDS Church Buys Ad Space in Book of Mormon Musical Playbill, and this is from September 6th of 2012, and I read this to remind myself exactly why the church had done this. And according to LDS Church spokesman Michael Purdy, in that same article, he says, "Our message in the playbill invites the audience to seek a more complete perspective on the book, its Christ-centered message, and its place in Mormon belief." So I mention all of that just because I think with all the talk of that musical back in the fall, and then what a miracle that we have someone whose life has already been changed because she was truly seeking for truth, and she found it, And I thought that was kind of a touching story and wanted to share that today. You just never know when someone's heart might be touched and when the gospel might hit at just the right time when someone is truly seeking for Christ. There's a story that kind of goes along with this, and it's from President Thomas S. Monson, who's, of course, the prophet of the church, and it's from General Conference, October of 2011, and it's called Dare to Stand Alone, and I want to play that for you now.
I believe my first experience at having the courage of my convictions took place when I served in the United States Navy near the end of World War II. Navy boot camp was not an easy experience for me, nor for anyone who endured it. For the first 3 weeks, I was convinced my life was in jeopardy. The Navy wasn't trying to train me. It was trying to kill me. I shall ever remember when Sunday rolled around after the first week. We received welcome news from the chief petty officer. Standing at attention on the drill ground in a brisk California breeze, we heard his command. Today, everybody goes to church. Everybody, that is, except for me. I'm going to relax. Then he shouted, all of you Catholics, you meet in Camp Decatur. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. A rather sizable contingent moved out. Then he barked out his next command. Those of you who are Jewish, you meet in Camp Henry. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. A somewhat smaller contingent marched out. Then he said, the rest of you Protestants, you meet in the theaters at Camp Farragut. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. Instantly there flashed through my mind the thought, Monson, you're not a Catholic. You're not a Jew. You're not a Protestant. You're a Mormon. So you just stand here. I'm glad to be alive today. I can assure you that I felt completely alone. Courageous, determined, yes, but alone. And then I heard the sweetest words I ever heard that chief petty officer utter. He looked in my direction and asked, and just what do you guys call yourselves? Until that very moment, I had not realized that anyone was standing beside me or behind me on the drill ground. Almost in unison, each of us replied, Mormons. It is difficult to describe the joy that filled my heart as I turned around and saw a handful of other sailors. The chief petty officer scratched his head in an expression of puzzlement, but finally said, well, you guys go find somewhere to meet. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. As we marched away, I thought of the words of a rhyme I had learned in primary years before. Dare to be a Mormon. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Although the experience turned out differently from what I'd expected, I had been willing to stand alone, had such been necessary. Since that day, there have been times when there was no one standing behind me, and so I did stand alone. How grateful I am that I made the decision long ago to remain strong and true, always prepared, and ready to defend my religion should the need arise.
I love that story, and I love imagining him standing on the field, thinking he's the only one standing there, when in reality there's all these people behind him. They've actually made a Mormon message out of this. It's called Dare to Stand Alone. If you haven't ever watched it, check it out. It's on our website or on our YouTube channel. And the closing line in that Mormon message, President Monson says, we are never alone when we stand with our Father in heaven. And isn't that the truth? We really are never alone when we stand with him. We always have someone on our side. It's time to close, but I pray that we can remember that as we go about our day and our week. And I thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions or comments or stories where you've been courageous or shown courage in a similar situation, or any story you'd like to share with me, of course, you're welcome to send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today as well. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The song of the day that I'd like to leave you with is called Shine, featuring William Joseph. Thanks again for being with us, and have a great day.